All right, please turn in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Sorry, chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And we're going to be looking at the last three verses. I'm going to read from verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is a sign in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will by no means pass away. Title of my sermon this morning is The Lord of Peace. This last section, this prayer and statement that Paul ends with, he's not praying for something to happen. But what he's doing, he's echoing reality. He is pointing to reality. When we pray in accordance with God's truth, that is in accordance with his reality, as he has revealed reality to be, we are reminding ourselves and others about that reality so that we might live in terms of it, to know and believe the true reality changes how we approach it, how we think about it, what we do when we understand the true reality. And so he says in verse 16, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. To be the Lord, the ultimate Lord of something in this world, means that you are in absolute control. You absolutely regulate it. You are the owner of it. You are the sole distributor of it. The Lord of creation has absolute control over the whole of his creation. And so the Lord of peace means that peace has no existence outside of his ordering. The Lord is the only source of peace. Peace has no existence independently of Christ. There is no peace outside of his control and presence. Thus, those who do not love the Lord Jesus Christ have no access to his peace. And he is the only source of peace. Therefore, they have no peace. What they have is a pseudo-peace that they conjure up in their minds by suppressing God's truth about them, by suppressing God's truth about the world, suppressing God's truth about their future. When they suppress those, they have the pseudo-peace. Because now they can conjure up what their future, what the world, what they are in their own minds. But that's not real peace. They suppress the truth in unrighteousness. That's the only way they can arrive at an appearance of peace. There are only two relational positions that people can have with the Lord. They are either at peace with him or they are at war with him. There's no third option. You are either at peace or at war. So Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ cannot have peace because the Lord is the source of peace. He is the Lord of peace. Paul told the Colossians that God's plan was to reconcile all things to himself through Jesus Christ. And how could he do that? Having made peace through the blood of his cross, Colossians 1 and verse 20. That's how he could reconcile all things to himself, by having made peace through the cross. The gospel message is called the gospel of peace. Ephesians 6:15. And we are told in Acts that God sent his word to his people, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, Acts 10:36. Peace with God is tied to Christ, to his cross, and to faith in the work that he has accomplished on our behalf. That's the only basis of true peace. And so this verse is fundamentally instruction about reality. And Paul prays about this reality unto the end that the Thessalonian believers would understand and therefore fully participate in that reality. That reality that was theirs in Jesus Christ. through the gospel. Paul was not praying for the Lord to give more than he had already given. Oh Lord, please give them some more peace. Lord, you could have given them more. You haven't yet. I'm asking you now to give the full bounty that you promised you would give. He's not praying for the Lord to do something. The Lord wasn't holding back on giving his peace, or this peace that Paul is talking about to the Thessalonians. He wasn't holding back on giving them what they needed. The Lord wasn't waiting to be prompted by the prayers of Paul or the Thessalonians in order to impart the full measure. Now what this verse is doing is turning the Thessalonians to the source of comprehensive peace. Where is your peace? Where should it be manifested? Where do you find it? And so he's explaining those things. The source is the Lord of peace. And it is a peace that should be possessed by believers always. Always. And in every circumstance, in every way, every situation, every conceivable situation that you are ever in, you should be filled with peace. It's a tall order, isn't it? This is not a hope. This is the reality. This is what it means to be in Christ and to understand who you are in Him and what He is with respect to us, what He has done, what He has provided, what we actually possess. To have been made one with the Lord of peace Himself. That's what we have been made one with. The Lord of peace Himself. To be in Christ is to be in the Lord of peace. We don't fall in and out of union with Christ. We are in Him. And nor do we fall in and out of. There's not this ebb and flow of peace in the kingdom of God. It's constant. The reality remains constant. We are joined to the Lord of peace through faith. And He has, through His grace, shown that His provision includes a comprehensive and uninterrupted peace that extends to every conceivable aspect and circumstance in life. This is the reality we have in Him. However, it is possible to lose sight of this. How do we lose sight of this? We lose sight of this reality through sin, through unbelief. We don't trust. We don't believe that's the reality we're in. We believe our reality is something different to what Paul has just described. This is the reality you're in. We say, no, it's something else. Unbelief. When our eyes shift off Christ and onto our circumstances, whatever they might be, we can lose our peace. But that's not because the Lord isn't giving it. It's not because we are not receiving something. He hasn't blocked this channel. It's because we doubt Him. Our minds have concluded a different reality to what He says reality is. And we doubt His word. We doubt the source of peace. We doubt the Lord of peace. We doubt that He's doing what He should be doing. When we doubt the Lord is who He has revealed Himself to be and demonstrated Himself to be, then we're not trusting Him. We don't trust Him. We can't trust Him. How can He be trusted? He wouldn't do the right thing anyway, so He's not doing the right thing now, and that's why I don't have peace. My circumstances are out of control. The peace that the Lord of peace gives rests upon who He is. He is the Lord of all. He has sovereignly determined everything that comes to pass. All of His plans are good and working for our good. No one can pluck us out of His hand. He has promised to give us everything we need in order to complete our course. He loves us with an everlasting love that shall never end. That's the reality we dwell in. And Paul's prayer reminds us that we ought to look for and possess peace always and in every way, every circumstance, every situation. When we lose sight of the truth about the Lord of peace himself, that is when we lose our peace. You see, our peace is not to rest, it's not to be found in our circumstances. You know, when my circumstances are favorable, when I've got a perception of what my circumstances should be, and those line up, my circumstances happen to line up with my perception of what they should be, then I have peace. As soon as my circumstances change to what I perceive they should be, I lose my peace. Why? Because my peace rests upon my circumstances, not upon the Lord who is in heaven in absolute control of life. So it's a false understanding. It's unbelief. You're confused. The loss of peace comes from unbelief. It comes from confusion. It comes from changing reality, God's reality, and substituting it with our own reality. For some people, one of the worst horrors that they could imagine would be nuclear war. Now, I'm not saying we should underestimate the horror of nuclear war. I think it's a sound perception of nuclear war. It's horrible. But if our nation became embroiled in nuclear war, is it possible to have peace in that situation? Complete peace, guys. God says we can and ought to have peace always in every situation, and that would include nuclear war. Peace. Our circumstances would change dramatically in such a conflict. But would God's plan have changed? Oh, suddenly he's caught off guard. Would a nuclear war mean that God was no longer in control? Would a nuclear war change the Great Commission, our responsibility, our calling, the vision, the goal, the hope, the expectation of complete comprehensive, would it change any of that? No. We might have to rethink how we go about it. The goal is the same. The plan is the same. God's goodness is the same. The perfection of his plan is the same. And where does our peace reside? In the perfect God, who's the same, unchanging. Not our circumstances. What circumstance is able to remove our peace? There should be no circumstance. Because every one of them falls within the Lord's perfect plan to glorify his name and at the same time, it's done for our good. Each circumstance is for our good. But it is by faith that we bring our emotions and our perceptions into line with God's truth about our circumstances. It's the message we get from the book of Job. God's perfect plan has always been worked out. And this perfect plan was for God's glory and Job's good. And he loses all his children in one day. Bam. Yep. This is for God's glory and Job's good. His wife deserts him. Tells him to curse God and die. This is perfect plan of God for God's glory and Job's good. Then he loses all his earthly possessions for God's glory and Job's good. And then his body is inflicted with horrendous suffering. Who's in charge? Is God this malicious, cruel, vindictive torturer? You see, Job was not allowed to determine who God was and his relationship with God based on his circumstances. God didn't change. And by the end of the book, Job realizes that. Job didn't fully understand what was happening. But his life story is now an integral part of God's revelation for all those who follow Job, who come after Job. It's an incredible wealth of blessing, understanding, strength, courage, so that we can face life and we can glorify God. And we have much more than Job had. Our revelation is vastly greater. And therefore, we are greatly strengthened and challenged and enlightened by his life for God's glory and Job's good and our good. The Lord of peace is the source of peace that passes understanding. And when God's people manifest that kind of peace in the midst of difficult circumstances, it glorifies the Lord. It magnifies his grace. It exalts his wisdom. It manifests his power. there's a person, complete peace in that circumstance. It should never be other than that. Never. Our circumstances always come from God's hand and are meant for His glory. And we need to learn how to always function in the midst of our circumstances with complete peace. And if we don't, we will repeat it again and again and again. It's not the people around me who aren't changing. Why don't they change? God's saying, you change. You start responding to that circumstance with peace, with understanding, with maturity. Because losing one's peace is manifested in different ways. People have different ways of manifesting it. One person loses their peace, manifests that loss of peace by losing his temper. Another person gets all emotional. Another person gets so agitated and disturbed and frantic. But those are all just habitual ways of responding to your own lack of faith. That's how you manifest it. This is my habit. This is my knee-jerk response. When I take my eyes off Christ, I'm going to manifest it through my anger or my emotionalism or some other kind of way. And I habitually practice that, and that's how my life is governed. And so anytime I get into that circumstance and I take my eyes off Christ, I go to my habit. So stop making me angry. You always make me angry. No, you always respond with lack of faith. And so the circumstance keeps coming around to you and you keep failing because you practice your habit rather than changing and realizing lack of peace is my problem. Lack of peace means I am responding in an immature, stupid way to my circumstance. That's the reality. That's what we have to get our minds around and say, oh, now I'm identifying the problem. The problem is not that person. They might have to change. They might have something to work through. But until I am able to manifest peace in that circumstance, I'm the problem. I have a problem. And I need to deal with it. So we're not to blow up, we're not to melt down, we're not to go into fetal position psychologically, emotionally. You're immature. You're childish. You say, oh, that's childishness. You know, we see a 2-year-old rolling around on the ground, spinning around, screaming and stamping and shouting and punching the ground, and we say, that's really childish. And then we do it in our own adult way. The Lord of peace himself has ordained to give us peace always and in every situation. So we've got to change our default setting. We've got to change it. Self-consciously change it. If it's anger, change it. Emotionalism, change it. Fretting, change it. Why? Because Christ is the Lord of peace. What's changed? Just because your circumstance is there. Somebody bashed into my car and I don't know who did it. Look at that. This is what is... What? Change your knee-jerk response to whatever circumstance you find yourself in. But we can't do that unless we recognize that our default setting is wrong. It is stupid. It is childish. It is immature. Oh, now I've got motivation to change it. Because everybody else who's watching knows how stupid and immature I am behaving. And I'm the only one who thinks I'm justified because I have justification for this behavior. They say, no, you look very stupid. That's good motivation. Jesus said, in the world you're going to have trouble. But I've conquered the world. Has he? What should disturb us to that degree? So when we lose our peace, it's because we are responding to a circumstance according to our habit rather than in terms of God's reality. What's the reality? Christ is in absolute control. And what he's doing is for his glory and for my good. And he wants me to respond maturely to my circumstances and manifest his great wisdom and his great grace in my life that I can respond in this way to my circumstance. He's in complete control. What Jesus has done and what he continues to do for us guarantees this reality of possessing peace always and in every way. When we lose our peace because of sin or lack of faith, which is by not believing everything the Lord has revealed, by taking our eyes off him and his truth, then that is our problem. The Lord of peace has provided everything we need so that we can always have peace in every circumstance. Verse 17, he says, "The salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is a sign of every sign in every epistle, so I write." There's not much to say about this verse other than it was Paul's way of authenticating his letters, much like we would sign a document in our days. Might create a letter on a word processor and print it out, and then if it's an important letter, we'd sign it with our own hand just to authenticate that as mine. It's no different. That's what Paul did. Yeah, he usually dictated his letters. Maybe he could think more clearly if he wasn't writing and concentrating, whatever his reason was, but he had his letters, he dictated his letters, and then he just ended them off to authenticate them, and so that somebody couldn't fabricate his letters or claim something in his name by writing a letter to a church. And finally, verse 18, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." Peace and grace are two sides of the same coin. They usually run together in the same sentence often, the greetings. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. One cannot exist without the other. There's no peace without grace, and there's no grace. Where there is grace, there will be peace. It's God's provision, both of those. Paul's message is all about the grace of God. And this is a message that forever remains vitally important for all believers. Our secure rest is in the grace of God. It was because of God's grace that Jesus was sent into the world so that everything the sinner needed in order to be reconciled with the Father would be supplied through the Lamb of God. That's why he came, so that we could have everything needed. God so loved the world that he sent his Son, that whoever believes in his Son might have eternal life. The work that was undertaken by the Father and the Son with respect to our redemption was different. They had different roles in the work that accomplished our redemption. However, both were motivated. The Father and the Son were both motivated by their grace, the grace. They were going to respond to our helpless situation by grace. That's all it is. It is only grace that can explain why so much has been given to creatures that are so unworthy. Why else would God give such abundance to his people? And this grace is manifested by the actions of the Father and the Son. Grace is the Father and the Son giving and sacrificing incredible amounts for our benefit. The Lord had promised us that his grace is sufficient for us in every imaginable circumstance, for every imaginable responsibility, for everything in our lives. His grace is with us and sufficient to supply all that we need. We need to live our lives in the reality that we are submerged in God's grace always. That's what we have. That's why. That's all we can hope for. That's where we find our strength and security. It's his grace, because he has graciously told us what he's going to do. And why is he going to do it? Because he has graciously decided to do that. And so that's what we hope in. We rest in that. That's the only place where true peace can be found. Other religions don't understand grace. The grace of Christ connected to the true justice of God with respect to punishing sin and dealing with the problem of sin through Christ. Other religions don't. They don't know how to address that. The Muslims, they don't have any retribution for sin that's committed. It's just, he just forgives. Allah just forgives those who believe in Muhammad. It's not justice. But it's justice and grace. And we need to keep this truth before our eyes. We need to meditate upon it. We need to face every obstacle, disappointment, difficulty, and danger standing upon the immovable rock. That the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with us all. No one should feel left out. It's with us all. All who love Him, all who look to Him, all who trust in Him. The grace that is ours because of what He accomplished on our behalf and continues to do on our behalf. It's because of Jesus' completed work that we are assured of His grace. And we also understand the extent of His grace. Confidence and assurance about our future and about our eternal standing in God's family is not presumptuous if we are trusting completely in the grace of God, in His work, in His provision. The Lord has given us His abundant grace so that we can be His children forever and dwell in His household, forever doing His will, forever serving the King of glory. We have no grounds for boasting. But we have everything we need to succeed. We have everything we need to stand boldly in every situation. We have every reason and resource and reassurance that we possess and can possess peace, complete peace, always in every situation. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ with us all, always. And the Holy Spirit underlines the authority and the certainty of all this with the word Amen. And so be it. This is the reality. And so be it. These things are assured. They are inescapable. They are backed by the Almighty Lord of the universe. So as we come to the end of our study on the Thessalonian epistles, we see that our lack of peace is our own doing. And we need to break that habit of losing peace. We complicate things. We make things, situations and circumstances complicated. So let's bow our hearts. We thank You, Lord, for the truth that has been revealed to us through these two letters. Thank You for Your great love and wisdom. Thank You that You have called us into a victorious kingdom to serve a victorious plan, and I pray that You would give us courage and confidence in the certainty of the unfolding, continuing outworking of that victorious plan. So give us eyes to see, I pray, help our hearts to truly embrace the reality that You have revealed, and may we at all times continue our service of You with great peace, knowing of Your great grace. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.